Hello once again, this is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley. And I want to share with you some things out of the book of Psalms today, and I hope you'll enjoy looking at some of the teaching that comes from it. I want to go into Psalm 142, where I read, I cried unto the Lord with my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him, I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, they have privately laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand, but there was no man that would know me, and refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord, and said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, and thou shalt deal bountifully with me. Now, this is a beautiful psalm, especially if you're suffering from something that we call today depression. Depression comes in a variety of ways. It comes because we've had a bad relationship with parents, with spouses, with friends and business colleagues, or in the business that you're in, those that are over you are not saying nice things about you, and you're about to get fired, or you're about to be demoted instead of promoted, instead of being given the confidence that you can stay in the company for a long time. All those sort of things take hold of us, they grip us tightly, they shake us up, and they make us feel very miserable. In fact, the psalmist here talks about his experience. Now, this particular psalm, we think, was written because David was in a cave. While he was in the cave, his friends who were with him, who were on guard at the mouth of the cave, they said, Quick, Saul, King Saul is coming. There wasn't time to get out of the cave, so David and his men went to the back of the cave. And then Saul came and he went into the cave. And the dreadful thing was, anybody of David's group, if they'd sneezed, there would have been a battle galore inside of that cave. And they were sort of trapped. And there was a sense in which they could not get out. And David had not been guilty of going against the king, but the king had a real phobia that David was continually after him, so he tried to kill David first. When these soldiers of King Saul were tired, they laid down and they went to sleep in the cave. And one man in particular that was supposed to be looking after the king and be his bodyguard, he was snoring up a storm. And David and his men decided that they would tiptoe through these sleeping soldiers and that they would get out of the cave. On the way out, one of David's companions said to David in a whisper, I suppose, Let's kill King Saul. Look at him. He's laying there. He's your enemy, and you can kill him. And King David used this expression. He said, No, I will not lift my hand against the Lord's anointed. Let me explain. If a man anointed of God is in the ministry and people don't like him, they usually rise up against him. So if you're one of those preachers that's suffering this particular rottenness today, let me encourage you and say that they're wrong in lifting their hand against the Lord's anointed, and they're wrong in trying to get rid of you. They need to go to prayer and ask the Lord to do the removing and ask the Lord to look after the situation. That's how it should be done. And there's no way there should be these rows that I hear about amongst pastors and elders and so on. That's my position, and I believe it's a correct one, totally correct, according to the word of God. The pastor and the elders, or whatever the leadership is, they should go to prayer and they should pray and seek the face of the Lord. What do we have to do now? How can we achieve the right things, and how can we go about right things in our church? But there are so many wrong things in our churches, I'm afraid, that we accept that the hierarchy, the leadership, can do what they jolly well please. When a man is called of God to the ministry, beware, elders, beware, beware. I know there are many men that are not called that are in the ministry, and that's the greatest shame upon the church of the Lord Jesus today. And this is a rabbit trail that I've deliberately gone up, and I leave it with you. Now, let's deal with this cave business. As David went past King Saul, instead of thrusting him through with his sword or his spear or a dagger, instead of killing King Saul, he cut the skirt of his garment, and he took off from his garment a chunk of cloth. And then he got out of the cave with all his men, and they went to a safe distance. And then they yelled and they made a noise, and King David yelled at Saul, and he said, "You've not been protected correctly last night. The fellow that's laying beside you, that's your bodyguard, he didn't protect you. Look, here's proof. You look at the skirt of your garment, you'll find there's a chunk of cloth missing. I have it here in my hand." Well, there was a tremendous hullabaloo, I would imagine, amongst the soldiers, and they were upset that they had missed David and really damaged the king. So the king was ashamed. And we find his shame didn't last very long. He said, "David, thou art more righteous than I. Oh dear, we should never let this go on," and so on. But it wasn't long that he changed his mind again and was chasing David again. We need to understand David's situation, and you need to understand his heart. The heart of David was, "Lord, I cry unto thee, make haste unto me. Give ear to my voice when I cry unto thee." He's talking massively, and he's saying, "Please come close to me. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him." What a tremendous thing. Now, let me back up just a smidgen. And let me say to you, you may have been unjustly accused, you may have been unjustly used, but the thing that you must understand is cry out to the Lord. There may be things that you don't understand that have happened to you, and there may be things that have shattered your confidence and all those sort of things. And I can talk to you for an hour or so about the psychology of the psyche of those of us that have gone through the hoop, as it were. But I want to say to you, there's only one answer that works. There is only one answer that we as Christians should be following, and that is we should cry unto the Lord. Cry out unto the Lord, and we should be before him. So let's look at some of these things, because David was alone in the cave. He says, I poured out my heart. I poured it out. If you go back into chapter 140, which is just two psalms earlier, you hear him say, "Deliver me, O Lord, from the evil man. Preserve me from the violent man, which imagine mischiefs in their heart. Continually they are gathered together for war." He's talking of King Saul. He is saying, "This, my father-in-law, is chasing me all over the desert and causing me a great deal of discomfort. Lord, help me. Please, Lord, help me." The Lord, of course, will help him, did help him, and will help him. And you and I are in the same boat. But we need to learn how to pour out. The word is very simple, to pour out our heart, just to speak out and pour out our supplication. Talk to the living God. "I cry unto thee, make haste, give ear unto my voice. When I cry unto thee, let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands in the evening sacrifice." And so he goes on. This is the cry of King David. He was alone. "I poured out my spirit, I poured myself out, and I showed God everything that was in my heart. In verse 3, we discover in the Authorized Version a beautiful word. He says, my spirit was overwhelmed within me. Have you ever been overwhelmed? Sometimes circumstances just overwhelm you. How did I get so much on my credit card? Why is the bank saying I don't have enough money in the bank? Why is this child of mine ill? Why is my husband so unattentive? Why is my wife so not concerned with me? Why is the business falling apart? There's a myriad of things that can overwhelm us. Some of them are very, very personal, and we shouldn't maybe talk about them. The Apostle Paul says there are some things that I don't think it's right to talk about. I don't even think I should write about, he says. But you have committed sins that need to be addressed, so I have to talk about them. And so we come to this point where I'm overwhelmed. My circumstances, my relationships, they are overwhelming me. I can't cope. I cannot cope. Now, you'll see this inability to cope in ladies that don't look after their houses. That is, they don't do the washing and they don't do the dishwashing and they'll get it done. They don't bother to vacuum. They just sit before the television or in front of the fire, warming their hands and blocking their minds out so that they have an excuse not to get on. With men, you find that they bury themselves sometimes in their businesses, and they're so buried in their silly businesses, they have no time for the rest of the family. You'll find that they're overwhelmed. You see, there are 7 days in a week, and the sixth day we rest. We rest on the seventh day. When we finish the sixth day, we rest. But in our community and in our frame of reference today, we work 7 days a week. And we keep up that enormous, intensive activity, and we keep on and on and on, and we don't know. We can hardly take a day off for Christmas. We can barely take a day off for New Year's, but we always manage to take days off for Thanksgiving. But if you're a man or woman that gets involved in lots of games or in lots of drinking and too much eating, you will find you're overwhelmed because the day off isn't worth it. You'll find that you're overwhelmed because you've not rested. And God never had that pattern for us. And it's right. We have inherited a wonderful God. And he says, on the seventh day, rest. Shut your stores down. Rest. Close your business down. Rest. If you're caught up, everything is right, you can rest on that day. And also, because we are so-called Christians, certainly as saints of the Lord Jesus, if we are saints of Jesus, we should be spending some of that rest in the presence of the Lord. Now, let me explain this a little bit. If your whole attachment to worship is singing, you have a serious problem. If you don't spend at least an equal amount in the Word of God, rightly dividing the Word of God and discovering its truth in your church or assembly or whatever you call your gathering, if you don't do that, then, my dear friend, you're not going to rest. And if you come out of the church, say, boy, that was smashing music, and I'm glad the preacher didn't go on too long, you have a serious problem in your church. And I would say to you with lots and lots of love, if you're in the Word of God, you have a lot of rest. Because not only does God reveal what the problem is in your life, God also reveals the solution to the problem that is in your life. Read the Word of God. Keep on reading it. When my spirit was overwhelmed, the agony of spirit is from God. It is our portion. The overwhelmed spirit produces new confidence in Christ. It has new access to the throne of grace in prayer. And it will be renewed with renewed fellowship with Christ on a deeper level. And we need to seek that deep level. We need to come to God and say, give me more, give me more. Drown me in your presence. Drown me in your spirit. overwhelm me with your godly peace that passeth all understanding. But I say to you with great deal of love and no criticism, because I've been there. We can't sometimes get that peace because we can't stand still long enough and recognize that God is on his throne. So I share this with you. Also, not only was David alone in the cave, he was trapped and afraid to venture out. I take you over into Psalm 140. The proud have hid a snare for me and cords. They have spread a net by the wayside and have set gins for me. Now, what in the world is all this? What's a snare? What's a cord? What's a net? What's a gin? Let's look at this just for a moment. A snare is a temptation leading to capture. That's a snare. Sometimes we are betrayed by our friends. They become a snare. They pretend to be friendly. They pretend to like us and love us. They pretend to serve us and look after us. They pretend to be concerned about us. They become a snare. It's a dreadful thing because they only want to capture us. I remember a time in my life when a man sort of inveigled his way into my confidence, and I shared one or two things with him that was very confidential, only to hear him say and make public what I had said to him in secret and in private. I was shattered. How dare he? Why did he? I still don't know. But what an awful experience that was. And that happened to David. David was married to Saul's daughter, whom he'd given to David because David had been so successful against the Philistines. And David had a wife. But David was off protecting people, helping people, and going around doing his ministerial thing. And when he came back for Michelle, his wife, he discovered that King Saul had given her to somebody else. King Saul said, I will give him Michelle so that she shall become a snare. And that you can find in 1 Samuel 18 and verse 21. And so to you young people, I say to you, be very careful how you select. Let God do the selecting of the woman to marry, the man to marry. They may not be a snare unto you. And this girl was. And then what are cords? Well, this is intertwining hair that people have. You remember the story of Samson when he was asked by Delilah, well, where's your strength? He said, it's in my hair. If you make braids in my hair and pin the braids to that weaver's beam, I shall be stuck if the Philistines come. And while he was asleep, she wove his hair and she made braids and she pinned them to the weaver's beam, and a dreadful thing happened. She said, quick, the Philistines are upon you. And he just got up and took the beam with him and slew the Philistines. There are cords people lay out for us. They bind us. And these intertwined cords hold us down, hold us back. The next thing he says, there is a net for me. What's a net? Well, a net thrown over an animal causes the animal first to be totally confused. The animal will wrestle with the net, and he will fight with the net, and the more he fights with the net, the more entangled he gets. Oh, Lord, says David, they've thrown a net over me. I'm so confused, I don't know what to do. This confusion is a dreadful thing because it's used to keep the prey alive, and it constrains the animal. They want to keep it alive. Maybe they want to send it to the zoo. And that happens to us in our daily walk. We have snares, we have cords, we have a net that sometimes gets thrown over us. What's a gin? Well, a gin is a sort of gallows. It's a hoist, actually, and it leaves us dangling. Verse 4 tells us in 140, tells us, keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked, preserve me from violent men who have proposed to overthrow my goings. There's nothing worse than being left dangling. Sometimes you hear people whispering about you, or you hear stories about you, and you think, how did they make that up? Where did that come from? But they've done it, and now they've got you dangling. and they've got you just hoping that you can get out of this situation, and you really can't, but you're dangling. So you will suffer from the snare, the cord, the net, and the gin. What do you do? Hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear to my supplication, for in thy faithfulness answer me, in thy righteousness. That's what we should do. My Lord, I cry unto thee, make haste unto me, give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. That's where we should be. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Poor old David was in a pickle. And he said, Lord, all these things. Why, I've been caught in a snare, I've been caught with the cords, I've been caught in the net, and I've been caught by the gin, and now I'm in front of you and I'm saying, Lord, help me. There was a time in my life which was desperate and awful. It was just constantly agonizing. My body hurt so badly. I was crippled up and I could not move in the normal ways, and all sorts of things were wrong. And I felt so wretched and didn't know what to do with my life. And I did not want to live. And I found I was caught in these things. And I was reminded of a beautiful hymn, which is called Abide With Me, Fast Falls The Eventide. Toward the end of one of the verses, it says, help me, help of the helpless, abide with me. I was so helpless, literally, physically, mentally, spiritually. I was so helpless. I could not do anything. I cried out and said, Lord of the helpless, this is me talking. Help me. Abide with me. Abide with me. And it was as if the Lord Jesus snuggled up to me and held me in those everlasting arms that are underneath and all around. And he held me so tight and so close, I didn't fear anymore. I wasn't looking for escape anymore. I wasn't looking for an excuse to get away from this anymore. I was happy in Jesus. And it's been like that ever since. How wonderful, how marvelous is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. I must share with you the last thing. And that is that King David had great liberty. Look at verse 5 of that 140th Psalm. The proud have hid their snare for me and cords, and have spread a net by the wayside, and have set gins for me. That's my problem, Lord. That's where I am, but I have liberty in heart. And how he turned, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. The God, the strength of my salvation, thou hast covered my head in the day of battle. And he talks like this. He says, I'm close to God. Let the mischief of their own lips cover them. Let burning coals fall upon them. Let them be cast into the fire, into deep pits, that they rise not up again. Let not an evil speaker be established in the earth. Evil shall hunt the violent man and overthrow him. I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted and the right of the poor. Surely the righteous shall give thanks unto thy name. The upright shall dwell in thy presence. What a terrific statement that is. The psalmist David pulls back and he says, look at this. God protects me. The cave I am in is poor refuge. God protects me. The nourishment and succor I need comes from God. In God am I safe, and that's the portion of his life. And dear friends, I want to share that with you in this way. I want to say to you, if you don't have this wonderful thing that is going on in the Lord Jesus, you've lost a lot of blessing. You've lost a lot of things that you need to have. David says in verses 6 and 7 of Psalm 142, I was brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. Let God fight your battle. I know this is extremely different from anything you hear on television, and anything you hear from our politicians and anything you hear from some preachers, but let God deal bountifully with thee. He will work it out. You don't have to be all of a froth and a dither. Just be trusting the Lord. Trust in the Lord and he will see you through. Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Do it. And you will find, as you look at these wonderful words in the scriptures here, you will find God will deal bountifully with you. You may be imprisoned within your own heart and soul. Doesn't matter. You may be imprisoned literally. It still doesn't matter. If you're loving the Lord Jesus, he will deal bountifully with you. Thank you for listening. Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, we ask your blessing and enrichment and love and kindness and tender mercy to be upon us now. Bless us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.